here this morning, and I am eager to get this message, because the more I read it, the more I get excited about it. And this is the one that Brother Branham said he saw something the week before that, and he was so excited he couldn't hardly wait till the next week. And I begin to understand why. I'm sure I don't understand it all, but I'm beginning to understand why. So let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that you, Lord, would consider us, Lord, and consider you, the children of your Son that are all over this world, Lord. And that you would honor us with these secrets, Lord. That you pulled us up too close to you, Lord, and you whispered your secrets in our ear. And oh, Lord, how those secrets have an effect upon us. How they stir our hearts, Lord. How they let us know how much you love us, what you've done for us, the extent, Lord, of your love, just starting to understand it, Lord. We pray that you'll help us with the message, Lord. It'll be said like you want it to be said. And Lord, we each one can receive, Lord. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. I've still got a little ways to go here before we actually get to that message, but we still want to lay some of this groundwork, because some of the things I'm going to say here in the first few minutes, you'll start to see the things that Brother Branham is saying and what is the attraction. You'll see how he's identifying the completion or the capping of these things. So let's start out. Let's go back into the breach. The breach between the seven church ages and the seven seals. Now you see, I'm just not making that up. It's thus saith the Lord. I'll read it to you out of the book. Now listen. The sounding of the seventh angel's message, the mystery of God, should be finished as that's been declared by his holy prophets. See what he's identifying, what's going to be finished. Amen. God, the mystery of God should be finished that's been declared by his holy prophets. That's the prophets who has wrote the word. That's what's going to be finished. That's pretty clear. People can't go around that and make something else out of it. That's what he said. That's what it is. At the sounding of the seventh church age, the last church age, all the loose ends through the... Now, last week we read that about the six church ages where they're probing at it, all through the six church ages. Now he's telling you, and when the seals are broken, the mystery's revealed, down comes the angel, the messenger. When the seals are broke and the mysteries are revealed, that's when the angel messenger comes down. Now, I know y'all have heard this a lot, but just put it back in your head a little bit this morning as we start. The messenger Christ, setting his foot upon the land and upon the sea with a rainbow over his head. And I'm sure y'all remember the messages Brother Holmes brought on the rainbows and stuff. That rainbow covenant, being a different light for every church age. I'm not going to go into that, but sometimes if you want to go back and look at those, it would be good. But the seals, when the seals are broke and the mystery is revealed, down comes this angel. Did we not see the seals break? So then the angel messenger had to come down. Because when those seals broke, and people, Satan will do everything under the sun and say, well, just six of them broke, not seven of them broke. So he didn't come down. And all kind of nonsense like that. Like God does a half job or something. The mystery is revealed. Down comes the angel, the messenger Christ, setting his foot upon the land and upon the sea with a rainbow over his head. Now remember, this seventh angel is on earth at the time of this coming. So not only is this the time that the seals are broken, the mystery is revealed, is he here? But down comes the messenger. He's here. He's here when that happens too. So he's here when all that happens. And people just, they make all kind of excuses because they'll go get something else in the message and they'll read another idea into it. That's why I spent a little time before we got to these about people putting their ideas to things. All right, now this is in the same message, paragraph 29. We're just going to hop back a little bit, but it goes in this order a little better, I thought. This seven-seal book is revealed at the time of the seven thunders of Revelation 10. So not only is when the seals broke and the mystery revealed and the angel comes down and the messenger is here when all this is taking place, but also the seven-seal book is revealed at the time of the seven thunders. So when that seven-seal book is revealed, the thunders are revealed. It's the time that the thunders are happening. And a lot of people take that and they'll say the seals versus the thunders. And we ain't going down that road, but we know that's not true. If you're marking it down, let's turn to Revelation 10 just a moment so that you'll get an understanding before we get into it. Now, this is at the end time. So he just took and put another marker on all that because this is at the end time. I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven clothed with a cloud and a rainbow upon his head. And if you notice, that's Christ. See? Because he in the Old Testament was called the angel of the covenant. Do you know why he's saying angel of the covenant? Because when he said he came down, he had a rainbow over his head. And Brother Branham said, when you see rainbow, it means covenant. Because that's what God done. He made a covenant with himself that he would not destroy the earth. So when he's saying that, he's calling him the angel of the covenant because of that rainbow that's over his head. Because he, in the Old Testament, was called the angel of the covenant. And he's directly coming to the Jews now. Now, we've read this a bunch of times. We know this. For the church is finished. All right. And his face, as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. Now, you remember that the angel in Revelation 1, same thing. Angel is a messenger. He's a messenger to Israel. And the church has been raptured. See? He's not placing that at Revelation 1. He's still talking about Revelation 10. The church has been raptured. Now are fixing to be raptured. He comes for his church. So while he's coming down to the Jews, it says right here, he's coming directly to the Jews now, for the church is finished. But just because it's finished doesn't mean he's not getting her. He's getting her. The church has been raptured. See, now, or fixing to be raptured, he comes for his church. So when he comes directly to the Jews, he's coming to the church too. Coming to get her, see, because he's finished with her. At the same time, he's coming to the Jews. Does that make sense, or did I just mash that all up? You see what he's saying? He came directly to the Jews, and then right below that he says, the church has been raptured or fixing to be raptured. I'm stressing that point because we're going to hit it again here in just a few minutes. All right, so this one might seem a little odd, but hopefully it'll fit in here in a few minutes. This is from Questions and Answers in 1964. You got to have all stages. He's talking about birth. You're begotten of the Spirit, just like a baby's begotten in the womb of a mother, but not born until they receive the Holy Ghost. See that? They're begotten, but they're not born until they receive the Holy Ghost. You're born then, you're not converted. You're in the process of being converted all that time. You're in the process of being converted until that time. See, he's drawing a difference between the two. You can't be being converted and born again at the same time, because you're being born converted and then you're born, is what he's saying. I'm sorry, but look here. This is what I wanted to get to. That's the reason that all these great mysteries could not be given to Luther. Why? Because he was still being converted. Could not be given to Wesley because he was still being converted. What does that say about these great mysteries? They have to be something that you have to be born again to receive. And why did he say that everybody in the bride didn't come forth when Jesus did? Remember what he said? He said because of Eve having been deceived, he had to redeem her. He had to take that away. That's why we had to come through the church ages. That's why they probed at things for six church ages. That's why these things had took place. That's why they were being converted, not born. Brother Bram called them begotten, and he's going to call them that right now. That's the reason all these great mysteries could not be given to Luther, could not be given to Wesley, could not be given to the age that just passed us, the Pentecostal age. Why? It wasn't time. So was the Pentecostal age, was they born again? He says they were still being converted. He just said it right there. They were begotten. Now, the person of Christ, now this goes right with what we were looking at a while ago, Revelation 10 and the revelation. Because Brother Bram is making it very clear that when he broke those seals and the thunders come forth, that there's a message coming forth. That's what's rapturing the bride. Brother Bram said the rapture is a revelation. And so that's what he's talking about there. So then, down here, he's just approaching it from a different way, saying the same thing. Talking about what's happening during the church ages and how come they can't receive this breaking of the seals and the things that took place. It wasn't time. They were begotten. Now, the person of Christ himself, the Son of Man, you understand, revealing himself in human flesh. He couldn't do that during that converting time. Couldn't do it. Not reveal himself like this. It could not have come till now. Amen. So, that ought to seal up Pentecost and set it away for people, but it don't. They still got their ideas about it. It ought to also say something about, Brother Bram said that you're not born until you receive the Holy Ghost. So had Pentecost received the Holy Ghost yet? Not like what he's talking about. All right, so let's pick up now in this day, this scripture is fulfilled. This is the message that we talked about the last time, how that Brother Branham was preaching birth pains and the pages stuck together and a priest brought him the book to read out of. Remember that? Okay. And this, after he saw what was taking place there, what God was doing, he come preach this message. What a word. Think of it. This day, this scripture fulfilled before your eyes. That's what Jesus had told him when he read that first part of Isaiah. Who said it? God himself, who is the interpreter of his own word. He's the one brings his word to pass. And there he was doing it. This day is this scripture fulfilled. The Messiah himself standing in the presence of the congregation and reading a word out of the Bible pertaining to himself. And saying, today this scripture is fulfilled, and they still failed to see it. Amen. Now, you know as well as I do, when you read these messages, when Brother Branham brings these things in the message, he ain't talking about back there. He's bringing those, he's talking about back there, but he's trying to bring these so that you'll see now and see what's happening now. See? So, just down one paragraph. And therefore, they could not identify him with them. They couldn't because they had their own ideas about stuff. Because he was different from them. The person of Jesus Christ was so unique that no one should have missed seeing that. That was the Son of God. Because he was the perfect identification of the scripture that was wrote of him. He was the perfect manifestation of it. That's what identification means. If you get stopped on the side of the road and a cop comes up and he says, I want to see your identification, what are you going to give him? You're going to give him your license, which has got your name on it and your picture on it. And he's going to match them up and see if it's really you or not, if you're paying. So that's what he's saying. This was a perfect identification of what the scripture said. They could read it there in the Bible, and this was perfect in front of them, and they still couldn't see it. Because he was the perfect identification, the scripture was wrote of him. That's the way any Christian is known.
Amen.
By perfect identification. See? You're the perfect, if you're the perfect identification for the word of your age, if you're a part of that, then that's how you're known. That's what Brother Bram's saying here. That's the way any Christian is known. When his life identifies the very things that the Christian is supposed to do. That's how you know you're a Christian. That's how you know you believe it. Just because you say you believe it doesn't mean anything. How could he stand there and say, this day, this scripture is fulfilled right before your eyes? How outstanding. How so plainly. And yet, those people misunderstood. Why? It's because they took the interpretation of some order of priest that they were listening to. They wouldn't listen to faith. If God was calling them, they wouldn't listen. Many are called, but few are chosen. And the history always repeats itself. Now, what is he talking about? If history repeats itself, he must be getting ready in a minute to talk about something that's taking place now. The scripture has a compound meaning. So he's going to have scripture behind what he's getting ready to say here in just a minute. The scripture has compound meaning to it and a compound revelation. And so it is today, is because that we're in such a turmoil as we are, and people fail to see the truth of God, is because there's too many man-made interpretation of God's word. See, there's too many man-made, there's too many men speaking their own mind instead of speaking what the scripture says. Amen. There's too many men doing that. Amen. Because right up here, he just got through saying, that's the way any Christian is known, when his life identifies. And then when it's not happening, when these men are speaking, or women, or whoever's their life is that you see, they're giving a false testimony because they're doing something on their own. That's why I stress that so much. You cannot do it. It has to be God doing it. I mean, it has to be you surrendering and letting him do it. You have to say yes. But from there on, it's God. I didn't bring it with me, but I'll maybe next service. And so it is today. Okay, I got to interpret. Because there's too many man-made interpretations of God's word. God don't need nobody to interpret his word. He is his own interpreter. And when God's interpretation of his word is when he vindicates and proves it to be so. These people that's making these man-made interpretations, they can't prove nothing. But God, when he brings it to pass, he proves his own word. The problem is, it ain't near sensational enough for him. It ain't, it don't have some intellectual draw to it. That's where God's interpretation is when he makes his word come to pass. Now, he's laboring on that in this message called, This Day the Scripture is Fulfilled. He's laboring on it. So if scripture is fulfilled, it's when God interprets it, when he brings it to pass. All right, now he's dropping on down. And he gives, if you read this message, you'll see how many examples. He goes through the Bible and he uses all these different examples of where this one could have said, this day the scripture is fulfilled. This one could have said it, Moses and the different ones. And now he comes on down and he's bringing it now. Then consider now. I ask you at this hour, you people here of Jeffersonville. In 1933, the supernatural light that fell down yonder on the river that day when I was baptizing 500 in the name of Jesus Christ as about a 20-year-old boy. What did it say, Jeffersonville? What was it at the foot of the Spring Street there when the courier general, I believe it was, in the Louisville Herald, packed the article of it, went plumb across the Associated Press, plumb into Canada. Dr. Lee Vail cut it out of a paper way up in Canada in 1933. And when I was baptizing my 17th person under this witness, under that witness, and you know the rest of the story. And when I was standing there baptizing the 17th person, a light come down from heaven, shining down above there like a star falling from the heaven. And a voice said, as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ, your message shall forerun the second coming unto all this world. This day, this scripture is fulfilled. Amen. He said that right in front of them after he just got through talking about saying Jesus doing the same thing and they miss it. And if they haven't done the exact same thing, here he says it again. Now, what is he talking about? If this has been fulfilled, then that means his message of forerunning has to be done. Amen. Because it's been fulfilled. That's what he said. Not only that, let's see what he says. Let's see where and how he takes it. And the congregation started rejoicing. He said, this day, God promised it. What happened? This day it's went around the world. This forerunning of the second coming. And when God come down there and said that, when I was a little boy in a burning bush or a bush up here on fire with a pillar of fire up here at Wathen's place in Utica Pike, packing water back there from the barn to a moonshine still, you know the truth of it. He said, don't you never smoke or drink or defile your body, for there's work for you to do when you get older. And I testify to that being the truth, that I saw it, and God, as he did with Moses, spoke out before the congregation down yonder. He's talking about down at the river. See, this happened when he was younger. I think he was 6 or 8. He was really young when that spirit told him not to defile his body. And then he said he had told about it and that God spoke out and testified before the people that it was the truth by giving that prophecy down at the river that your ministry will forerun the second coming. This day, this scripture is fulfilled in the midst of us. Watch what he said about the discernment and how it would be. Now he's not stopping there. Now he's taking it on. Watch what he's doing. He's fulfilled the forerunning of the second coming. He just talked about it. Watch what he said about the discernment and how it would be from laying hands upon them to knowing the secret of their heart. This day, this scripture is fulfilled before your very eyes. All these things that he said was going to happen, then they happen. These promises that was made, notice all the promises that's been vindicated and fulfilled by God of the promise. Look, hanging in Washington, D.C. tonight, the picture of the angel of the Lord. As George J. Lacey, the head of the FBI fingerprint document from the United States government, examined it from Houston, Texas, and said, this is the only supernatural being was ever photographed in all the world. He ought to know he's the best in the world that's in the world for it. Notice, there it hangs as the truth. The same pillar of fire that led Israel back yonder at the wilderness, it's leading today the same kind of message. Exodus. Exodus. Now you see what he's doing now. Forerunning the second coming. It's been fulfilled, he said. Now look what he's bringing it to. Come up out of Egypt. This day, this scripture is fulfilled. You know the message that he said. Look at the vision of Tucson 3 years ago. Now he's bringing it. He's not pointing back there at the river anymore. Now he's pointing at the vision here in Tucson 3 years ago. When standing up here on the lane, when 5 years before that, the day that the city drives a stake down in the front of the gate, turn yourselves towards the west. My tabernacle, folks, that's here, knows that time. That's right. And the day that Mr. Goins and them was up there and drove that stake down, I said to the wife, there's something about this. She said, what is it? And I went and looked at my little book, and there it was. And the next morning at 10 o'clock, sitting in there, my room there, about 10 o'clock, the angel of the Lord came down. And he said, go to Tucson. They drive a stake down one day, and the angel of the Lord shows up the next day. Amen. You'll be northwest, northeast of Tucson, and there'll come seven angels in a cluster that will shake the whole earth around you. And I said, it'll be told you from there. Now, how many remembers that here, maybe before it happened? There is men sitting here in the building, this building tonight, was standing right there when it happened and said the seven seals, this is what it said before it happened. The seven seals of the hidden mysteries of the entire Bible will be open and fulfill Revelations 10, that in the seventh angel's message, these things should come to pass. This day, this scripture is fulfilled before your eyes. This day, this scripture is fulfilled. And what did he say happens when that takes place? The seven seals of the hidden mysteries of the entire Bible will be opened. And we read right there at the beginning of the service, didn't we just read it? Remember what we read? What happens at the same time that those things are taking place? All right. Okay, so I got a couple of things that I didn't put in there. I just wanted to read just a little bit. Now we're getting ready to start into this message. What is the attraction on the mountain? And I don't have it in here, but this is paragraph 30 in the same message. Let me read this. We find Jesus here coming up to Jerusalem, ready to attend the Passover. This is when Brother Branham's laying the background for what is the attraction on the mountain. And the mountain is Mount Olives, and Jesus is coming to Mount Olive, and it's about Passover, and this is what he's laying the background. We find Jesus here coming up to Jerusalem, ready to attend the Passover, and the Passover is where the Paschal Lamb was killed, and the blood was spread upon the mercy seat, the atonement for the people. See, this is what's getting ready to take place. The Lamb is coming up to Passover. The Lamb, not a Lamb, the Lamb is coming up. And this is what the attraction is on the mountain. All right. And then paragraph 37. He said they didn't have any literature as we have today. They didn't have television or telephones or anything of that day. But it had been kind of breezed around that he was going to be at the Passover, for many of the people, being spiritual minded, knew that he was that Passover lamb because he had already told them the things that were going to happen. So those people were there to see him, and lots of other people, because there was a lot of noise being made. And brother, he's talking about back there, but he's talking about today too. Just remember that as we read this, because that's the whole purpose of this, him bringing this message, is to point out the attraction of today on the mountain today. So don't miss it. So I've got my mind set on this message. And that's the third pull. And it's the one I must be loyal and reverent to. The bride is only loyal and reverent to what? Christ. Matthew 21:1-11. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethage, I'm assuming that's how you say that, unto the Mount Olives, Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, and saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if any man say aught unto you, you shall say, the Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. This was all done. Now listen, he's telling them why it's being done. And they're still going to miss it. This was all done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughters of Zion, behold, thy kingdom cometh unto thee, meek, sitting upon an ass and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. So Jesus gave them some scripture to let them know that they were going to be a part of helping this take place. And not only that, that it was taking place. And they went and brought the ass and the colt, and they put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way, and others, they honored him like a king, see, this multitude. And you know this is going to draw the ire of the Sadducees and the Pharisees. They like the attention themselves. They don't want nobody else having the attention, especially not some person they don't know about and maybe don't believe like they do. And they had a great, very great multitude spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches from the tree and strew them in the way. And the multitude that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. This is as the Passover lamb is coming in. All these things taking place right in front of them. And it just ain't important enough. It just don't look grand enough. It just don't look like God, because God is, everybody's idea of what God is. That's the problem. They got their own ideas that they stick so close to, they can't see what God says at all. And the multitude that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord Jesus. Hosanna in the highest. And when he come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? The multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. Now, I thought the rest of that scripture was good, so I pulled it out. So we're going to read just a little bit further down. Okay, so as soon as he got up there, and as soon as they got done telling everybody who he is, guess what he done? He plaited a rope and went into the temple and started beating them. After the lamb come in on the foal, then he gets off, goes into the temple and starts beating them. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the table of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And he said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. So he's quoting scripture to them as he's doing this. He's making it clear why he's doing it. And the blind and the lame came to him. So he beat them out of there, and then the blind and the lame come to him, and he healed them. And when the chiefs and the priests, scribes, look, look at what a commotion he started. First of all these people are following him in on this cult. And they're putting stuff down. They're saying Hosanna to the King and all these things. And then he comes in and he stirs them up, beats them out, and runs them out of the temple. And then they come to him and want to be healed, and he heals them. And then the priest, now listen, he's making a stir. You see what I'm saying? And they still don't know what's going on. The ones that can read the scripture to the core, and they still don't know what's going on. And he said unto them, okay, I got that. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. After seeing all these things, they were displeased. They were displeased. It didn't fit their idea. They were upset. These people were walking out healed. He was quoting scripture to them, for they were doing the wrong thing. Now, you see anything going on here? Do you see a type at all of Brother Branham's ministry? Of him telling them what's wrong and how they're doing things wrong and what they're doing to God's people? And at the same time, they're coming and being healed. You see the attraction that's going on there. Brother, these ain't by mistake. These ain't sort of thrown in there. God doesn't do anything that's not with a purpose. And they didn't like it. And they said unto him, you hear what they're saying? They're calling you the Son of David. Do you hear that? And you hear what Jesus said to them? He said unto them, yea, have you never read out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise? So he didn't calm their, oh, now, and try to explain it. He just told them flat what it was. That's why I wanted to read the rest of that, because it really fit. So Brother Branham reads this message, reads this scripture. And then he turns over to the book of Zechariah, because he's going back to Zechariah, because the scripture that Jesus pointed out that said that he was going to fulfill this certain scripture, he's going to go read that scripture for us. So now he's going back to Zechariah 9, 9th chapter and the 9th verse. Zechariah, one of the prophets, spoke in the spirit saying this, rejoice greatly, O daughters of Zion. Brother Ram said, that's always the bride. Shout, O daughters of Jerusalem, behold, thy king cometh unto thee. That's what that scripture said. Having salvation, being the lamb, the Passover lamb, lowly and riding upon an ass, upon the foal, the colt, the foal of an ass. Didn't ride in on some proud horse all decorated up with gold down some big golden stairs. He is from some important Sadducee or Pharisee group. No. And what was the matter with these scribes? What was the matter with these priests? What was the matter with these religious people? Now, what did Brother Branham say? That the scripture has compound meanings and that history repeats itself? He didn't say all these things for nothing. This was wrote 487 years before it happened by a vindicated prophet, which they said they believed, and was already put into writings and called the Bible the scrolls of the Old Testament. Why couldn't they see that prophecy being fulfilled? Why couldn't they see it? The same reason they can't see it today. Nothing changed. Satan's telling the same lies to people, pervert them the same way, getting them away from the word, getting them to take their idea and instead of letting God interpret it and then reveal it to them. They had took the word of God and made it of none effect to the people because they explained it. They said it'll be this way he is interpreted and then this is the way it'll take place. And if you take that, it's no effect to you when the real comes. By teaching for doctrine, the traditions of man. And if the scribes and preachers and ministers and spiritual so-called men, anointed ones, would only read the Bible they wouldn't be. You remember what did we read in the last one about he that hath an ear, let him hear. Now, when he's saying if they'd only read the Bible, he's talking about with that ear. That's what he's talking about. Would only read the Bible, they wouldn't be wondering what's taking place. And they would know what it is. God fulfilling his word. Because when God fulfills his word, he speaks to those who are going to see it. They're going to know when he does it. History was being made. Now, he's talking about back there, but he's bringing this message to talk about now, today. God fulfilling his word. History was being made. Prophecy was being fulfilled. Salvation to the world was arriving. The great day that all the prophets had looked forward to was there. It was coming. That was the attraction. All that was in the grave was waiting for that day. Even the dead were waiting for that day and looking for it. They were waiting and looking. Oh my, think of it. All that had died, all the righteous of the blood of the martyrs and the prophets. But it was God getting ready to confirm a promise and to fulfill a prophecy that his prophet had made. So now he's talking about John. I cut out a bunch, or I would have just been going for a long time. But he's talking about John here. And any one of the, you can go get the message and read behind me. And I recommend you do because it's really good. Very unusual. He didn't even say that. Those two words. Very unusual. He didn't even say that just because he's talking about back there. He's talking about now. It's very unusual. But it was God getting ready to confirm a promise and to fulfill a prophecy that his prophet had made. John's prophecy. Very unusual. God fulfilling his promise to Noah while others was laughing. God was getting ready to make history by fulfilling. See, he's making history by fulfilling the word. God was also getting ready to make history to show to others, even to this day, that he keeps his word. No matter how unreal it seems and unreasonable, he still keeps his word. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He was making it an example out of that old man. Now listen to this. This really got me. He was making an example. Noah up there beating on that ark for 100 years. People laughing at him. Said, my grandpa said you was beating on this when he was little. And making fun. He was making an example out of the old man pounding on that ark. That these people here in America tonight and all over the world. That's who he was making the example to. So don't tell me he's not talking about today. He's talking about today, brother. No matter what science says, what they say, this, that, or the other, he still keeps his word. He was making history. He was literally making history. God interprets his own word. God's making his own history. You see that? And I can hear John answer back and said, now they're laughing at John. So he's gone on to John. This is another example in the same message. Now they're laughing at John for the things he's doing. And I can hear John answer back and said, now he's going to give them the scripture. Have you not read in the scripture that Daniel the prophet said the daily sacrifice will be done away with? And that hour has arrived. So he's pointing out scripture. And that hour has arrived. Have you not read that what Isaiah said in the 40th chapter? The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. There is two prophecies for me. He's speaking for John as he's telling the story. And another thing, did you not recognize our prophet from 400 years ago, Malachi, when he spoke in the third chapter and said, behold, I send my messenger before my face to prepare the way. Don't you know this fulfills prophecy? So he's pointing it out, and they still ain't going to take it. Because John done called them too many names. They're not going to take it. Don't you know this fulfills prophecy? Prophecy was being fulfilled. And about that time, the prophet turned and said, as John is pointing out these things about his ministry, that he's pointing out that they took place, brother saying, by accident. What did he do when he just preached, this is the day the scripture fulfilled? He pointed out about that ministry being fulfilled. Now he's taking John here in this message, and he's letting John do his own explaining, saying, here's the scripture, here's the scripture, here's the scripture, and here's where it took place. And while he's saying it, Brother Branham says, and about that time the prophet turned and said, behold, there comes the Lamb. There he comes. This ain't by accident, brother and sister. He said this for the bride to pick this up. And about that time, the prophet turned and said, behold, there comes the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Now, what's the attraction? It's not John now. John's pointing to the Lamb. There's another attraction now. John's been the attraction for a while. He's been their laughing stock for a while. And he's tried to show them the scripture. What did the prophet do for so long? He tried to show them. What did we read in that other message? He said, the Son of Man comes in grace first and then judgment. We brought that. I think that was pretty clear. All right. So here he's bringing it down here again. Behold, here comes the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Now, what's the attraction? It's changed from the prophet to his prophecy. Amen. Now, notice what comes to pass. Here comes an ordinary man. When this takes place, this monumental thing that's in the Bible that's going to take place, here comes an ordinary man walking down into some muddy little river. Amen. It's not near sensational enough. It can't be God. See people's ideas and thoughts. And the intellect will tell you that. As long as you want to hold on to the intellect, he'll tell you that. Satan will tell you that. Here comes an ordinary man, known of no one, a carpenter's son, come walking out in the water. And now he's also talking about his own ministry. When John the great prophet said, I have need to be baptized of thee, why comest thou to me? Now, it goes on down in the message just a little bit. Now there's another attraction. So there was an attraction when he went into the water. Now there's attraction when he comes out of the water. Watch this. When he went into the water, it's when the prophecy was changing from the prophet. It was changing from the prophet to the prophecy when he was in the water. Now he's coming out of the water, and there's another attraction. Catch this. Now there's another attraction takes place. When he went up out of the water, this prophet who had been so loyal to declare his age and the time, he looked up and saw the heavens open. When he's coming out of the water, brother, when the baptizing's done, he looked up and he saw the heavens open. He saw the Spirit of God like a dove descending upon him. Now he's giving witness to what's taking place now. It's already changed from the prophet to the prophecy, but the prophet is still giving witness to what's happening, you see. It's not by accident that Brother Brown's bringing it this way. He saw the Spirit of God like a dove descending upon him, and a voice saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. God was vindicating a prophet's message. What was attracting the tension at Jordan? God's message was being vindicated. That was the attention. That's what the attention was. prophet's message. That's what the attraction is. The predestinated seed of God, who can't do nothing else but follow it, means more than life to us. Take our lives, but don't take that. What is the attraction? God, as usual, fulfilling his word. As usual, it's God fulfilling his word. He is fulfilling the word of Zechariah. Now, when he fulfills it, he's bringing it to pass, right? And that's the time you better recognize it. But Ram said the Sadducees and the Pharisees could have all the ideas they wanted to about his coming, and they was okay until he come. When he come and he interpreted it, then they better lay their ideas down and pick that up. And they wouldn't. And so that's what he's talking about here. He's talking about these interpretations. God's doing his own interpreting. We better lay our interpreting down. Take our lives, but don't take that. What is the attraction? God is, as usual, fulfilling his word. He's fulfilling the word of Zechariah again. See that? Of prophet Zechariah. He's fulfilling it again. Remember he said about it being compound meaning. Where I read the 9th verse a while ago, when Jesus entered the temple, entered Jerusalem riding on a little white donkey, the prophecy was fulfilled that Zechariah said, "Here it is, rejoice greatly, O daughters of Zion. Shout, O daughters of Jerusalem, behold, thy king is coming unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly riding upon an ass, upon the colt, the foal of an ass." And that's what the attraction was at Jerusalem at the headquarters. Now we see a last day happening. Let's turn a few pages on in Zechariah and see what he said about it. Let's turn it over then for the last days. So he's going from Zechariah 9 to Zechariah 14. He's going to talk about today. That was the middle age. When he taught in Zechariah 9, that was the middle age. Let's turn over to the last days. And turn over to Zechariah, the 14th chapter. And beginning with the 4th verse, and listen. We're going to read down a portion of the scripture, about 9 verses, from 4 to 9. Listen close. And it's the prophesying of his coming, the last days. Now, what did he just say? Let's see a last day happening. Let's read about that.
Amen.
Prophesying of his coming, the last days. Listen close now. This is thus saith the Lord. It's the scriptures. Zechariah 14. Remember Zechariah 9, what it said, and they didn't recognize it. The daughters of Zion and the daughters of Jerusalem, they didn't recognize it. Now, what is it today? Zechariah 14 speaks of his coming. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives again. Upon the Mount of Olives again. If that's not a type of the second coming, I don't know what is. Which is before Jerusalem on the east, on the Mount Olives, shall cleave in the midst thereof towards the east and towards the west. And there shall be a great valley. Half of the mountain shall be moved towards the north and half towards the south. And ye shall flee in the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach from Azel. Yea, ye shall flee, like you fled in the days of the earthquake, in the days of Uzziah the king of Judah. Another earthquake, splitting open the earth. Now, Brother Branham didn't say it quite like that in the message. He yelled it out. And if you want to follow a scripture here, notice in the 5th verse, it applies that the cleaving of the Mount of Olives is due to an earthquake. He's still talking about the last day coming. He's like, let's get Zechariah and let's talk about the last day. This is confirmed by Isaiah 29:6 and Revelation 16:9. Exactly. What is it? The same prophet told of his first coming, seen his second coming. Notice, as in the days of the earthquake, see what the earthquakes are doing? The earthquakes now are doing? See the predictions of them? And the Lord your God shall come, and all his saints with thee. And it shall come to pass in that day, hallelujah. Brother Branham's saying hallelujah. He knows what day it is. And it shall come to pass that day, in that day, that light shall not be clear or dark. Now, we've went into the Shalom message. We went into, is there a man here who can turn on the light? And we went into and we talked about this, it being not day or night. Brother Branham said that didn't exist anywhere else but here at the end. And it shall come to pass in that day, hallelujah, in that day, that the light shall not be clear or dark, but it shall be day. It shall be one day, which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that in the evening time, it shall be light. In the evening time. Now he's saying that this is Zechariah 14. This is where the cleaving of the Mount Olive, this is where this takes place, is what he's saying. It shall be light about the evening time. Same prophet. The same prophet. And the people is blind. There shall be a light about the evening time. And the people are blind. What's the attraction? Let's read a couple more verses. And it shall be in that day that living waters shall go forth from Jerusalem. He come and took the book, brother, and he give us life. Living waters shall go forth from Jerusalem, half of them towards the former sea, and half towards the hinder sea in the summer. In the winter it shall be the gospel going forth both to Jew and to Gentile. And what did we read right there in the beginning? He said when that seventh, the angel of the covenant comes down, he's coming directly to the Jews. And he's rapturing his bride at the same time. He said the same thing in the souls in prison or the one after the message after that. But he's a message going forth to both Jew and Gentile. So we're going to stop right there. I think that's enough for y'all to... You might want to listen to that again. But I probably mismatched it up pretty good there. But you think about that. He's telling us the things that were taking place. And we have a choice to believe it. Did we see that taking place? Or are we going to place it off somewhere else? Like the majority of the message people are doing. They're placing off the coming some other time. They're placing off the Jews some other time. These other things. But he's plainly, clearly showed us. And this was just the beginning of those messages, those strings of messages that he brought after that. It was so good. But we're going to stop right there. And I think I was thinking I might forget something, but I'm not. I'm good. Does that make sense? Does anybody have any questions? I mean, I'll answer them right here while we're talking about it. If you want, I'll try to do it if anybody has any questions. I know I mixed-mashed some things there. If you want to go back over a piece of it, I can do that too. But I don't want you to miss that. What is the attraction on the mountain? That was Christ. The attraction on the mountain back there was Christ. The attraction on the mountain, this here is Christ. He's talked about what is going to happen in Zechariah 14. It's the last day. And he's pointing out that this has been fulfilled. These things are being fulfilled. It was right at this same message, what is the attraction on the mountain, that he pointed out that God had told him to be the Eliezer and to get his bride and bring him to her. That's God getting his bride. That's God rapturing his bride. So, all right, let's stand. Let's pray. Father, you know what's in my heart, and no, Lord, I wished it had come maybe better, but it's come this way. And Lord, I don't think there's no mistakes, Lord, that you use everything for those that love you, even mine and all of our mistakes, Lord. And we thank you so much for this word. We're so thankful, Lord, you open it to our hearts and it becomes such a living oracle to us, Lord. Not just words, not just something we remember once, one day a week, Lord, but something we wake up with on our mind and we carry it through the day. Lord, salvation, life eternal, the birth in this hour, not a converting still, but a birth, Lord. We're so thankful to be a part of that. And Lord, we pray that you'll go with us through the week now, that you'll use us, Lord, to be that witness, as you talked about this morning, that every Christian is identified by the word, Lord. And no Christian can do that on his own. The only thing we can do, Lord, is surrender, to accept your word, Lord. And as I was reading the other day, and he that is in you, Lord, that's such a great scripture. Lord, just taking the words, he that is in you is greater than he's in the world. Just take those and consume them spiritually, Lord. Take them as the truth, Lord, and put them in your heart and hold fast to them, Lord. And Brother Ram said the miracles come from that, Lord, from holding on to your word, because you're looking for some place to vindicate your word, some place to bring it to pass, Lord. And we're so happy that we could be there. Lord, may we, if there's anything holding us back, Lord, we're looking at the hour. Lord, we feel like it's the finishing of this world. And Lord, instead of being upset or scared, we're getting excited, Lord, that we can see that land opening up, Father. And we're just looking forward to what you're going to do, expecting you, Lord, to bring your word to pass. Holding it dear in our hearts, Lord, making a prepared place for you to do what you want. And we give you all the thanks and the praise and the glory as we go from here this morning. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Unless Michael has a song he wants to sing, we can be dismissed. Okay. You're dismissed.
Look at.
Yeah.